Are you ready for Easter? Just next week, next Sunday, it'll be Easter. And I don't know if you've got it, you know, you're ready for it or if you prepared for it. And it's like, okay, I don't have to prepare much for it. Maybe you haven't even really given it much thought about preparing for Easter. We prepare for Christmas. I mean, I'll be honest with you, as soon as Thanksgiving hits, we're in Christmas mode. I mean, we've still got 5 weeks left. And we've got Christmas music on the radio. Many of you already have your Christmas presents purchased. You've planned your parties. Everything's going on. We get ready. We put lights up so that the electric company is real happy with us because we're going to make money for them. And we are all ready for Christmas. But if you're serious about it, if you think about it, Easter is really a big deal for Christians. It is the whole week, not just the one day. It is the whole week where we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Palm Sunday is the day that we commemorate, that we remember when Jesus came in to present himself as a king. By the end of the week, they rejected that. They called for his crucifixion. Pilate, unwilling to kill an innocent man, because he said he hasn't done anything wrong, went ahead and allowed him to be crucified by the Romans. The gruesome, one of the most humiliating, painful deaths that you can go through is what Jesus did, and he did it for us. And then he was in the grave for 3 days, and everybody thought he was gone. It was over. They were in fear of their life. They locked the doors behind them. The disciples did. And then Easter Sunday, Jesus said, no, no, no. And he came back from the dead. And that continues on because it reminds us that those who have died in Jesus, death does not have a firm grip on them. It may take them from this life, but actually it takes them on into the next life even quicker. And so it's a joyful day. And so maybe you haven't prepared, but if we look in our Bible, look in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at the Palm Sunday day, and we've read a couple of scriptures here. We've had a responsive reading about this. We've also looked at a little skit about this, but we're going to read this and see three ways that we can prepare ourselves this week for Easter, to get ready, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our body, to prepare for Easter. Luke chapter 19, this is the story. The Gospels are interesting because they all talk about Palm Sunday and what happened on that day, and they're all just a little bit different. Doesn't mean that they're wrong and one's right, just means that it's from three different perspectives, three different witnesses, eyewitnesses. Luke was a historian, a great historian, and he did a lot of research. Many of the others were eyewitnesses or they got firsthand accounts. Matthew and John, eyewitnesses of this. Mark got his ideas from the Apostle Peter. Luke researched everything, and he kind of gives a broader picture. So we're going to look at this and just read through and come up with three things that we can do this week. So Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 19. Do I have the right one? No, I don't. That's what I don't have. Okay, what do I have? 28. 29. Did I say the wrong one? How did I do this one? Have I ever made a mistake? There we go. Verse 29. I had too many nines in there, too many twos. 19:29. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, and the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Then shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city of Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, he's talking about the city, encompass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and he shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. It's Palm Sunday when Jesus came in, and three things. First of all, one lesson that we can do is do what Jesus says. Just do what he says. We don't know who they were, two disciples. We don't know which ones they were, James and John. Peter was a part of it, Andrew. Maybe it was one of those that we often forget, like Thaddeus, Bartholomew. We don't know who it was. But two of them, Jesus said, I want you to go get this young colt donkey and bring it to me. You notice, they didn't question it. That's a weird, strange request. Maybe they understood a little bit of it. Maybe they understood that this was symbolic because the Bible in the Old Testament prophesied that the eventual king that would redeem them and save them would come riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. Maybe they understood that, and so maybe they were excited, but regardless, they did it. And they went, and Jesus gave a little bit of a preliminary explanation. If somebody asks you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. Evidently, probably, Jesus had already had this arranged. He knew that he would come. He knew that he was supposed to come riding in on a donkey, and so he probably had it all arranged. And they went, and they got it, and brought it back to Jesus. We would be good if we simply just did what Jesus told us to do. You know? Just did. We sometimes try to figure, we want to do what we want to do. We have everybody else telling us what we ought to do. Our spouse, our parents, our children. And those are all appropriate things to listen to. But the one voice that will tell us always the right thing to do is to listen to Jesus. What does Jesus want me to do? Now that sometimes can be questionable. Well, how do I know? How do I hear? It would be easy if he were standing here and he were to tell me what to do. But one thing, we have a Bible, and the Bible is called the Word of God. And John the Apostle says that Jesus is also called the Word of God. So in one sense, whatever the Bible tells us to do is what Jesus would tell us to do. He would never contradict his Bible. So if the Bible tells us to do something, then we should do it. But here's what I do a lot of times. I have to sometimes get by myself, and I pray, and I talk, and I ask God, and it's almost if, I don't hear his voice. Let me just say this. I know some people say they hear voices. I don't hear voices. I don't have imaginings, but there is something in my spirit that's almost like, you know what? I know that's what God wants me to do. He doesn't tell it to me in a verbal voice. I don't dream about it at night, and all of a sudden I wake up and say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. But there is this urging, there is this burden, there is in my heart what I know what God wants me to do. So in one sense, he's speaking to my heart. And what I need to do is if he tells me to do something, I just do it. That's the safest. If you're here today, and if you've ever been in our membership class, we had a membership class this morning, and Joe wants to become a member of our church, and I'm ready for him to become a member of our church. That's going to be cool. But if you've ever sat in there, one thing I've always told you, and that is, I would love for you to be a member of our church, but I want you to go home and I want you to pray about it. And if God wants you here, we want you here. If God wants you somewhere else, we want you somewhere else. Because we want you to do what God wants you to do. Let me just give a very easy illustration. We're trying to raise money for a new building. And we're trying to raise a lot of money. And I am apprehensive and anxious and fearful. Because whenever you talk about money, you're talking about something that Jesus says is connected to our heart. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because I know whenever you talk about that, it can be very difficult. You feel guilty. You don't know what to do. Let me make it real simple. Go home, pray about it. What God lays on your heart, do that. You'll be happy, I'll be happy, God will be happy. Well, what if we don't get it all? Then evidently God didn't want us to get it all. But don't you dare just give whatever you can give, or what you think is good, or what will pass, or make you feel better. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? And you know, really, as Christians, we should be happy with everybody. In other words, if that's what God wants you to do, if God wants you to go leave here and go somewhere else, if God wants you to go to that business, if God wants you to buy that house, if God wants you to get this car, if God wants you to have that many children, if God doesn't want you to have any children, if God wants you to send your kids to a Christian school, public school, homeschool, in other words, what we should just do is say, you know what, you need to pray about it, and what God tells you to do, do it. I'll be happy with it. You'll be happy with it. But here's the problem. We really don't talk to God about our decisions. We try to figure out what's best for us. We use our own wisdom. And that works 90% of the time for a lot of decisions. But I love in the book of Proverbs, when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Acknowledge God, ask God, talk to God, and he will direct the path, the decision that you take. And so in any decision, the best thing that we can do this week is say, God, what do you want me to do this week? And you know what? And if you lay something on your heart, or you read something in Scripture, or something happens, and he just says, you know what? I want you to talk to that person about Jesus. I want you to do whatever he tells you to do, that's the thing to do. The second thing is, we should feel what Jesus feels. Feel what he feels. I'm going to come back to the entry when Jesus came in and what they did. But Jesus came in, presented himself as a king. They said, Hosanna to the king. Here he is. They laid the palm branches down. He came in, and there was a big tumult and a big, big celebration of Jesus coming in. And Jesus was literally on the height of his popularity coming into the capital city of Jerusalem. But I want you to notice, did you catch that? It says in verse 41 of Luke chapter 19. I'll get it right the third time. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. That word weep is not just a tear in your eye or a cry when you're watching Little House on the Prairie or Anne of Green Gables or something like that, or when you're watching, you know, that's, no. This is a breakdown weeping when somebody passes away, that you can't talk. You're weeping so much. It's the uncontrollable crying. Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem. You come up over this hill and you see the city, and he just cried. And the reason why he cried, he explains it. He knows what's going to happen to that city. Jesus already knows what's going to happen. He knew, and that's why he postponed it. In our viewpoint, he knew that when he came in on Palm Sunday that they would receive him, but by the end of the week they would crucify him. He'd already predicted it. He already said it was going to happen. And he knew he would raise again from the dead, but he knew that because the city rejected him, because the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God was going to bring the Romans in, and he was going to destroy that city. And if you've ever read Josephus, a historical account of what happens, it was horrible. Cannibalism. People suffering and dying. And finally, when the general Titus came in and took over the city, and they burnt the city of Jerusalem, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And as they burnt the temple, tradition says that the gold went down between the rocks in the temple, and literally what happened is the soldiers went in and pulled the boulders over and the rocks and stones over to get to the gold that was down there, so that one stone was not even sitting on another stone. It was leveled. The wall that the wailing wall that is there now, it was not a part of that structure. It was the only place that was remaining of the outer wall of the city. And so we find out that he just cried because he knew what was going to happen because they rejected Jesus Christ as their king. And we as Christians, it needs to break our heart when we look around us to see the people that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because as of yet, they have rejected Jesus Christ as their King. And if they do not change their minds, they will spend eternity in hell, never getting out, in tremendous pain. That should just break our hearts. I mentioned last week, we have children, brothers, sisters, parents, neighbors that we see every day, sometimes in the summertime. People that we work with, we're in the very next cubicle. People that we interact with all the time. People that know us by name. We are on our way to heaven, not because of who we are, but simply because we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and He has forgiven us and made us part of His family. We're not any better than any of those people. The one thing that might be different is somebody told us about Jesus, and we said yes. The very least that we could do is, out of a broken heart, share and tell them about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so it should break our hearts. It should hurt to feel what Jesus feels, to look at people not as a client, to look at people not as a server that's serving me food, not to look at somebody who is just my neighbor or my blood relative that I hang around with, but to see somebody who is either saved or lost, somebody who is either going to heaven or headed to hell, and I have the only message that can give them. And so, to share with them. And then the last thing that we can do is we can tell them who Jesus is. And that's really what the believers did. If you notice, it was the Galileans, the people from the north that were around the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, as they were coming into Jerusalem, which was another section of the country of Israel. And as they were coming in, these Galileans were the ones, with the disciples, were the ones that were throwing their clothes on the ground and were putting the palm branches down. And as Jesus came through, and they proclaimed, "Hosanna to the King." The word Hosanna, I looked it up. It means, "Lord, save us." They recognized that Jesus Christ was their Savior, and they were telling everybody. And some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they said, "Hey, tell your guys to be quiet." And the reason was is because it would not go over with the Romans, because Caesar was king, not Jesus. And it could cause a big political problem. And Jesus said, "Hey, if they were quiet, the stones would cry out." In other words, this is the day. This is the day that I am presenting the Son of God. I am presenting myself as the King. And they are accepting me as their King. They want me to be their King. And they're telling everybody, whether people want to believe it or not, whether it's Romans, the pagans, whether it's the Jewish leaders, the religious people, they are making sure that everybody knows that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. And that's the one thing that we can do this week, is to tell people who Jesus is. Because here's the deal. And that's, you know what? I want to live my life in front of them. I want to be as good as I can. Well, here's the problem with just being good. People that aren't saved will think, well, that means you got to be good to go to heaven. You got to go to church to go to heaven. You got to be baptized to go to heaven. And the problem is, there's going to be a lot of people that are good, a lot of people that are church members, a lot of people that are baptized, that have never trusted Jesus, and they're not going to be in heaven. It's Jesus. That's the one message that we can tell people that can help them live forever. And so I encourage you to invite people to go to church next week. Easter is the one Sunday of the year that people would be interested in going to church, because it seems like everybody is going to church. Now, I know they don't. I know not everybody does. But it might be that person is waiting on us to ask them to go to church. Or maybe you could just share what Jesus has done for you. Take those opportunities. You don't push it on people. Nobody likes that. I don't like it when people push their sales on me. I don't like it when people push their, you know, things that they're trying to get rid of on me. I don't like that. I don't like pressure. But I like finding out somebody's story, find out where somebody's been, what they've been doing. And so share what Jesus means to you with other people. So how can we prepare for Easter? We can do what Jesus says. And that's a challenge. Wake up in the mornings and say, "Jesus, what would you like for me to do? If I can only accomplish one thing for you, what do you want me to do?" And here's what I do. I write it down, and when I get it done, I check it off. And that's fun. I love to check off things I get done. So whatever he lays on your heart to do, do what he says to do. Feel what Jesus feels. You know, the care and the compassion and the concern that we have for the people that are around us. And then tell who Jesus is. Share your faith with other people. You know, for forever, I am going to remember Richard Acree. You have no idea who he is. But he's the man who, when I went forward at a campfire, he knelt down with me and shared Jesus, and he prayed with me, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm thankful for my mom and my dad. I'm thankful for my grandma, my grandpa. I'm thankful for my pastor, Brother Joe Lewis. But it was Richard Acree who prayed with me. And forever, every time I go by him, I'll say, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Who will be in heaven that forever will thank you for telling them about Jesus? And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you may have heard it 1,000 times, this may be the first time it really sinks in, I don't know, but all he is a prayer away to surrender your life to him and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's actually the best thing you could do to prepare for Easter, is like they did, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Getting ready for Easter. You know, we live busy lives. It seems like it creeps up on us. But to pause and to think about what Jesus has done for us and to prepare our hearts. And I hope today that you will do what Jesus wants you to do. whatever it is he lays on your heart. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I just want you to know it's simple, but it's not easy. It is surrendering your life to him. What you give up to get Jesus is well worth the trade. So I invite you to do that. If God has laid somebody on your heart, I encourage you to pray for them. To pray that God would give you the boldness to talk to them this week. Maybe to invite them or just to share Jesus with them. In a few moments, Barbara's going to play through a song. And if you want to just come and pray about whatever God has laid on your heart, or you want to talk to somebody, I'll be up here to talk to you about whatever it is that God has laid on your heart. We want you to respond to him and say yes. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. This is the week that really we focus on him, and a lot of the world focuses on Easter and what Jesus has done. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to do what you're speaking to our hearts right now. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would move us. I ask, Lord, that you would be with us. We pray, Father, that you would help people to respond positively to what you want them to do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.